Okay, Daf Yud Gimel on the base. We're up to the bottom. We're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. That's where we left off yesterday. Tanya Tana Mishum Rabbi Loza Tana Mishum Rabbi Loza Amu Kisheru Sayu. Going back to the case of the Toida. According to this opinion, the Toida that was lying on the Itzva, the guy Itzva was Kisherus. They were not like what we learned. We learned yesterday two interpretations of Psulas. The first interpretation of Psulas means that it was Mamish Lina, it was Mamish Noisar. And the second interpretation was, it was not Mamish Noisar. It was a case where the Shechita was done, but the Zerika was never done. Either according to some interpretation was the blood was lost, or the second interpretation, the blood was not lost, it was Niskabel Bechli, and then it was Nishpach. But now we have a new interpretation. Well, we here, the toilet was kasherus. Calls manshim nochas kolam oichlim nil achas mehem toilin loichlim v'loy sarfin nilu shteim hischilu kulum sarfin. So he says, Taga, the same exact thing. The only point the Gemara wants to make is that they were, but according to this opinion, kasherus means legamri, completely kasherus, not like what it says in the Mishnah. Not like what it says in the Mishnah. And it has a different version. This is verse. Let me see what's over here on the side. I didn't notice this one. It says over here in the notes. But Sochlema Shachalik Rabbi Loza Ala Braisa Lel. He disagrees. Okay. Vesoyber Shekrivu Toyle Biyadalid. Shemloikin Harry Bechlan of Subalino. Vetoyle Sischarin Galia. Oy Yesh Lefar Shavar Hazevach Shalchalois. For Neskatch of the Shaguf. For Hoyim Mutoris Vachila Al Yidei Pidyoin. Another interpretation. No, okay, it's Tais. I'm sorry. Okay, look at Taisvis. Okay, I didn't realize. Taisvis is the kasha. How we learned in the previous staff, they were psulas, and we had two interpretations for psulas. Either means mamish lina noiser, or it means that the zevach was lost. And they had Kedusha Saguf, right? They had Kedusha Saguf. But this version says they were Kesheris Taisvis. V'im toim amyachat Kesheris ha'yu amai ma'ash noisam ad shas isur. If you learn the word Kesheris Mamish, or Mamish, why are they waiting? Why are they waiting until the fifth hour? They now took it down, and now everyone began to burn it. So why did they wait so long? If it's Mamish, they should eat it. It's Kesheris. If you're going to learn the words, the truth of Kemashmai, Kesheris means Roy, the Yeshlam, the Hainu Kemashim, the Leel, the Amal El, Trumo, Kochomesh, Velach, Me, Taime, Kitchum, Kitchuma, Voyunoylem, Hoacharoina, Besev, Chomesh, because you're allowed to eat it in Chanami. Because it has the status of this going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Remember, we had three opinions. We had the Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. Is there a chilik between Shuma and Kardashim? So this price is a beautiful answer. It's going like Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. That says what? Shuma, you can eat the entire fifth hour. Chulin, you can. It was, what's the kash? Let's review the kash. The kash is, we have over here on the Itzdaba, two loaves of bread of the Karban Toida. So when it comes the beginning of the fifth hour, they take away one, and they leave one. And what's the simen? When you take away one, means everyone should stop eating. No one's allowed to eat anymore. And now in the next hour, toilin. Loy oichlin, but v'loy sarfin. You don't eat, but you don't have to burn. And then when they took away the second loaf of bread, now everyone began to burn their chametz. So the question is, if this loaf of bread is kosher, so Bishlam, the first loaf of bread we can taste implies, if you have two loaves of bread from the Karban Toida, they're rohoi li'achila, ksheros. It's now the end of the fourth hour. So we can learn that when they took off one loaf of bread, they didn't take it off mamish the very last second. They took it off 10 seconds before, and right away someone ate it. That's what Tais really is saying. Okay, they took this two loaves of bread, they're royal achila, they're part of the Karban Toida, they're lying on the Yitzdaba, and at the end of the fourth hour, the Zman Isra Achila begins. So when it says in the Mishnah, they took away one loaf of bread.
The truma you're allowed to eat.
Oh, not the truma. Let's the answer. Let's go one step at a time. Let's go one step at a time. You have on the Yitzdaba two loaves of bread, and these two loaves of bread are from the Karban Toida, and they're chometz, and they're royal achila. And now comes the end of the Zman, and they take one down. So it doesn't mean they take one down at the very, very last second. They take it down 20 seconds before the Zman is over, so as soon as they take off that loaf of bread, it's still, they can still eat it right away. You eat it immediately, so there's no loss to kachim. It's kachim, you have to eat it. If something was kachim, you must eat it.
The end of the fourth hour, end of the fifth?
End of the fourth hour. What did it say in the Braisa? When the fourth hour was over, they took down one loaf of bread. And that was a sign to the tzibur, no longer are you allowed to eat. Then at the end of the fifth hour, they took away the second loaf of bread. The second loaf was taken. No, they not know that. No, what was the simon when they took away the second loaf of bread? Now everyone has to burn it. Right, this braisa follows the shita l'choy of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to eat until the end of the fourth hour. The fifth hour is toiling. You don't eat and you don't burn. And the end of the fifth hour, then you burn it. So here we are. What? You burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. You have 1 hour. And the seventh hour, it's also Bahana.
The sixth hour, you have a whole
hour to burn it. Correct. Whole hour to burn it. Now, what kind of bread? So until now, the whole daf that we learned yesterday, these two loaves of bread, they're chometz, and they're anyway not fit for consumption. Why are they not fit for consumption, these two loaves of bread? Because they're pasul, psulos. Why are they psulos? So we learned yesterday two different possibilities why they're psulos. Either it's noiser, it was from the 13th, and it's, or the second answer was no, it's from today. You're allowed, this time holds, you can shech the carbon toy the Erev Pesach, but we're going in a unique case where the blood was lost, the blood of the carbon got lost, so there's no, you can't eat it. Okay, so you can't eat it. So anyway, it's not going to be eaten. If it's not going to be eaten, so they used it as a sign for Klal Yisrael that as long as there are two loaves of bread, you can eat. When you take away one loaf of bread, you can't eat, but you're not mechuyev yet to burn. When they take away the second loaf of bread, now everyone has to burn the chametz. But if you're going to tell me that the two loaves of bread are roi liachila, the kasheros mamish, so now when they take down from the istma one loaf of bread, so we can say it doesn't mean have you're taking it down the very last minute, because the moment you take it down, you're no longer allowed to eat, right? The moment you take down one loaf of bread, you can no longer eat. But if this loaf of bread is roi liachila and it belongs to it's kodesh, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat it by taking it. So in the Chanami, it doesn't mean you take it down the very last second. You take it down 20 seconds before. You take it down the last 20 seconds, you take it down and you eat it, you put it in your mouth and you eat it. But the kasha is, what about the second loaf of bread? The entire fifth hour. The entire fifth hour is toiling. You're not allowed to eat. So here you start off with a loaf of bread. That's kodesh. It's carbon toida. It's kodesh. It's roi l'achila. And you're going to deliberately leave it on the itztaba to serve as a sin for Klal Yisrael. That as long as there's one loaf of bread on the itztaba, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat chametz, but you're not yet mechuyev to burn it. So you, the yodayim, you are deliberately going and you're destroying bread that's roi l'achila. How could you possibly do that? Terrible thing. So Tois is a brilliant answer. This price is going like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What did Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel say? He said that during the fifth hour, you're not allowed to eat chulin, but you're allowed to eat shuma. So kachin is no worse than shuma. So therefore, they kept that second loaf of bread there on the itzba the entire fifth hour, and 20 seconds before the end of the fifth hour, they took it down, and they ate it. Oh, how are you allowed to eat it? Because it's no worse than shuma. That's from the Gemara. Right in the Gemara. So that's from Mishra. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Kshar, Sayyid, Kolzman, Shem, Nochas, Halam, Echlam, Noy, Nidlach, Smeyam, Metelim, Loy, Echlam, Loy, Sarfim, Nidl, Shtayim, Hiskil, Kulam, Sarfim, we take the second one, then everyone burns it. Tanya, within the Brayas, Abba Shalom, Abba Shalom says, Shtay, Paros, Hoyah, he has a different sim. He holds that they didn't use loaves of bread, they used another sim of Paros. There were two Paros, Hoyah, Gzutait. Chorshoitz, Bahar, Hamishra. As Harazesim, they were two paros, and they were working, they were plows. The tractors were going back and forth the entire Erev Pesach, Bar HaMishcha, Kol Zman Sheshteim Choshos, as long as two of the paros, these two cows, were pulling the plow, this was a sign for Klal Yisrael that it's not yet 10 o'clock, it's not yet the end of the fourth hour, you're still allowed to eat chametz. If one of the cows has been removed from service, it's been retired, and there's only now one paro that's pulling a plow in Har HaMishcha, that was a sign that the fifth hour has arrived. You are no longer allowed to eat, but you're still allowed to have it in your possession, have hana. So nidla achas mehem toilin loichlin v'loy sraf. They would not eat, but they would not burn. And then nidla shtehen, when he got to the sixth hour, and both paros were removed, his chilukam was served, and everyone began to burn. So therefore, we have over here a new technique of how people kept track of time in ancient times. Okay, now we start the new sugi. The sugi.
What were they following?
For no reason other than to show Klal Yisrael that it's not. What's the symbolic significance? There must be something very deep. I don't know. There must be something very deep here. Some deep agoda. Why they used a plow as a symbol that everyone is allowed to eat. I don't know the answer. Okay, right. Now, can we start a new
story? As they plowed with two behemoths, they took away one. You don't have the problem of... Tzar
Balchai. Why should it be Tzar Balchai?
Because
you're all alone. You need a partner. I don't know. Sometimes when there's no partner, there's less Tzar. Sometimes your partner is not always so good. Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, I hear. Okay, let's go weiter. Rabbi Yechan, now we go to a new sugi. We got to keep cheshvan. It's beautiful sugi. B'chanim, it's not so hard. Everyone scares you away. Oh, he's starting today. B'chanim, it's kind of kahanim. Don't worry, it's not so hard. Rabbi B'chanim, it's kind of kahanim. Why not? Mimeim shel kahanim. In the days of the kahanim, loy nimnu milis shoyf es habosar shnitma bevlada tuma im habosar shnitma biyava tuma afal pishim leisifin tuma al tumasa. Okay, we have a tumah. Let's discuss all the different madregos. An ava tumah. Ava, we have an avia voice. The mace itself is avia voice. Dead body is avia voice. Any human being that comes in contact with a corpse, either through contact or in the oil hamace, becomes an av hatumah. If the person now touches food or touches a utensil, it becomes a rishon. If that utensil touches food, that food becomes a sheni. A utensil can never become a sheni, generally speaking. Generally speaking, we'll give it our exception, but generally speaking, utensil never becomes a sheni. Food can become a sheni. So we have a person is an av, person touch the avi avoyis, again one more time, the corpse is avi avoyis, the person comes in contact with the dead, so he becomes an av. He touches a utensil. The utensil becomes a rishoin. That utensil, then you put food in the utensil. The food now has become a sheni. Now, when it comes to chulin, that's where it stops. If you have a piece of bread that came in contact with the utensil that was a rishon, the piece of bread is a sheni, and there's nothing you can no longer transmit to him any further. Any person who's 100% tar makes contact with the bread, nothing happens to him. If that food were to touch other food, nothing can possibly happen. When it comes to chulin stops at the level of a sheni. Truma can become a shlishi. So if now, if you have food, the food is a sheni, and then you have truma, and the bread of truma, or anything that has the sanctity of truma, and it makes contact with a sheni, the truma becomes a shlishi. But truma cannot become anything lower than a shlishi. Kachim, let's say we have meat, or food, that has the sanctity of kachim, from the Beis HaMikdash, that can become a revi'i. Okay, so these are the general madregos, avi avois, av, rishon, sheni, truma can become a shlishi, kachim can become a revi. Now there's some terminology. Anytime you have the word tame means it has the ability to transmit, to make something to contaminate further. So when it comes to chulin, the only time the word tame is appropriate is by a rishon, because a rishon can make a sheni. But you really don't say that a sheni is tame, because it's not really technically a correct word when it comes to chulin, because a chulin you cannot become. When it comes to the word pasul means it stops there. Means the apostle is another word which means that this
would be a
shame. This, right, chulin, so really it's not really used by chulin, but technically speaking, theoretically speaking, chulin, a sheni is pasul. It's never really used in that way. We'll see in a moment why. Truma, a sheni can make a shlishi, but when a truma becomes a shlishi, it's called it's pasul, because truma cannot go any further than a shlishi. But kachim, if you have kachim, and it can be a shlishi, because a shlishi can be tame, because it can make something into a vi. Now here's the issue. We have over here, we have in the Beis HaMikdash, things are tame, right? It happens all the time. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's always things, accidents happen, there's people are tummy, they come in contact with the dead, or there's a dead sheretz, cabin in the basement, you have a rodent. Okay, they didn't have such good exterminators in those days. Right? All of these toxic poisons to kill rodents. And let's say you have a dead sheretz, one of the eight sheretz, and all of a sudden it stops suddenly in the Azara, on the floor of the Azara. You got a big problem on you. You have in the Azara an Av Hatoma. A sheretz, the Shmoin Neshratzim, if it dies, it's dead, it's an Av Hatoma. They're very happy. They have a rodent is found in the Beis Hamikdash, and a Koyin accidentally comes in contact, or Kutcher make contact with the sheretz. Okay, so you have another form of Tumah. So what happens if you have meat in the Beis Hamikdash, and you have two different types of meat? One piece of meat is a Rishon, because a person who was an Ava Tumah touched it. So he touched a piece of meat by accident, so the piece of meat is a Rishon. And then there's another piece of meat that is a Shlishi. There was food that was a Sheni, and this food touched another piece of meat, which made it into a Shlishi. So look at this. I have in front of me two pieces of meat. One piece of meat is a Rishon, and the other piece of meat is a Shlishi. What is the halacha? I have to destroy it. Anything which is tamei and kodesh must be destroyed. Am I allowed to take these two pieces of meat and burn them together in one bonfire? What's the issue? Because it's going to touch. And they touch, the Rishon is going to touch the Shlishi, and it's going to upgrade it to the status of a Sheni. Ah, so are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to. It's an Issa Derais or Shmartim is Mishmarti. You're not allowed to contaminate Kodshim Debeis HaMikdash. If something is Tahar and you take a Sheretz and you make contact with it, you've done an Avera. What's the level? I don't know. It's probably an Asay. It's a bit of Asay. Maybe it's a Lais Asay. You're not allowed to contaminate Kodshim. So here it's already Tamei. It's already Tamei. It's already Shlishi. So what am I doing? I'm putting in contact with the Rishon, so I'm making it more Tamei. Until now, it was only Shlishi. Now it's going to become a Sheni. Okay, now that's one. That's the Gemara Shaili. But let me just give you some advanced. You say this for the Gemara. That's not such a good shot, because you know maybe you'll tell me what's the big deal? Tamei is Tamei. If it's Tamei, it's Tamei. So it's a Sheni. It's going to be a Shlishi, a Sheni. What's the difference? I have a better shot to ask. The Gemara is going to bring this out very soon. What about if you have a Rishon and you have a Revi? Ooh, big difference. Why is it a big difference? Because the Revi doesn't have the power to contaminate something else. The case that I just told you where it's a Shlishi, it's Tomei, but it has a Koyach. It has the Koyach to contaminate something else, to make something else, the Kodshim, into a Revi. But so now when I go and I have a common contact with a Rishon and I make it into a Sheni, I really didn't do anything, because it was Tamei. Until now it was Tamei, and it had the ability to contaminate something else, and now it's Tamei, it has the ability to contaminate. It's okay, I brought up one notch, big deal, one notch, is that really significant? But what would the halacha be in a case where until now it's a Revi? So now it's weak, it's Tamei.
But it can't be Tamei.
But it doesn't have power to cause harm. It's harmless. And now I bring it in contact with a Rishon. So I'm now going to make it into a Sheni. So now I've done a significant upgrade. Not only have I made it a higher level, I've given it the Koyach to cause harm. That's going to be a much higher level of a question, which we'll see in a few moments. But right now, the Mishnah, we're talking about the Mishnah. I remember me, Yimeim Shulchan, Loinimnu, they never withheld Milistreif Es Habasar, Shenitma, the Vlad HaTumah, which means, let's say, it became Tumah with the Vlad HaTumah, which means a Sheni. Sheni is called a Vlad, so this became a Shlishi. This became Tumah from a Vlad, which means this is currently a Shlishi. In Habasar, Shenitma, the Av HaTumah, with me, that's a Rishain. Sh'af Alpi Shemoy, Sitin Tumah Al Tumah, so even though by doing so, I'm bringing Tumah, I'm adding a degree of Tumah. It's mutter. Rabbi Hanina, so the Yisoid is, all you have to do to trick anyone, if they know the Daf, tell them is, you're allowed, Rabbi Hanina, the Yisoid, Rabbi Hanina, it's a famous sugi everywhere, Rabbi Hanina's Kana, everyone's so afraid. Rabbi Hanina's Kana is, you're allowed to burn a Rishon with a Shlishi. That's it. Even though you're upgrading it, you're allowed to do it. Okay, now I go by it.
So what's
Vlad? The Basar that became in contact with the Vlad. What's the Vlad? The Vlad is a Sheni. The Vlad substitute the word Vlad for the word Sheni. Basar Shenitma, but Vlad means the Basar is a Shlishi. With Basar that became coming from an Af. So the Rishon. So you're mixing together a Rishon with the Shlishi. In the process of doing so, you're making the Shlishi into a Sheni. And Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim says, Mutter, Mutter, Mutter. Okay, good night. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva v'yomar miyemim shokehanim is a bigger chiddush. Lo nimnu milachalik es hashemen shenifsal b'tvul yoyim b'ner shenitma b'meis b'tamimeis. Now he obviously shem hoisifim to ma'altavos. And really, now this is a little bit tricky. And the Gemara is going to discuss this. It says hoisif. The word hoisif means he's telling you a bigger chiddush. Bigger chiddush. Now if we read the words, the way we're going to read the words right now, there's no bigger chiddush. It's really exactly the same thing. Now what's the case? Now we have one more time. Now what's a tful yoim? A tful yoim is a person who's tame. He's mamish tame. He's an avatame. He came in contact with the dead, and he went to mikvah. He had paraduma water. He went to mikvah. What's halach when you go to mikvah? After you finish it, you have to wait until the sun sets. So if you go to mikvah 9 o'clock in the morning, so the mikvah takes away the majority of your tumah, but you remain a sheni until Harav Shemesh, until the Tzedek HaKavim. So now he's a sheni, and now a sheni makes contact with truma. What happens to the truma? It becomes a shlishi. Right? Truma can become a shlishi. If the person is a sheni, why is he a sheni? Because he's a tful yoyim. It's a sheni. And he now touches truma. The truma becomes a shlishi.
That's
a shemen? A shemen, yeah. Shemen is truma. So the shemen is a shlishi. And that's why it's a shem nifsal. Nifsal means it's the end of the line. It's the end of the line. It becomes a shlishi. So you're allowed. The halik hashem is nifsal b'tful yoyim. So we have over here, shemen. The shemen has the status of a shlishi. And you are going to burn. So what's the law? Truma that's tameh must be burnt. Where are you going to burn it? I'm going to burn it in a utensil. What status does the utensil have? It's a rishon b'ner, in a ner, a metal seat, a metal ner. Shenitma b'tameh meis. I want to. You have truma. What truma tameh? What do you do with truma tameh?
The shemen
is truma tameh. What are you supposed to do with it?
Burn it.
So the only place I can burn it is in a can. I can't burn it on the floor. It's got to be neat and clean. Right. So I have a can, a metal can.
Okay, you're a tful yoyim.
No, you don't care about you anymore. You're not irrelevant. The shemen came in contact with the tful yoyim. The shemen is now a shlishi, period. Okay? The shemen is a shlishi. The tful yoyim is out of the picture.
The tful yoyim is out of the picture.
We just need the tful yoyim to make the shemen puzzle, to make the shemen tame. Okay, so the tful yoyim, the person went to mikvah, he's waiting for the sunset, in the meantime he touches shemen. Oh, so the shemen now is a shlishi. The tful yoyim goes, he gets on a plane and he's gone. Now, you're left to clean it up. You're wearing gloves, okay? It doesn't make a difference who you are. There's someone. Oh, look what we got in front of us. We got in front of us oil. We have a can of oil, and the oil is a shlishi. What's the halacha? Truma tameya must be destroyed. Okay, we got to burn it. Where am I going to burn it? The only practical thing I have available to burn now, I have a can. I have a metal can. So I'm going to pick all the oil and put it in the metal can and put a wick in and then have it ignite and burn it. Problem is, this metal can is a rishon. Why is it a rishon? Because someone who is a tamei meis touched it. So a tamei meis is an avatoma, right? Tamei meis is an avatoma. He touched the can. The can is now a rishon. Can is a rishon. So now when I take the oil, that's a shlishon, I put it in the can, the oil is now going to become a
sheni.
Exactly the same thing. At least in the Gemara's Havamina. Chosef Rabbi Akiva, he had another example. V'yomar, b'mem shokoyhanim lo'nimim l'halik as shemeshazol b'tul yoyim b'ner shnigma b'tamei meis. Afal pishem oisifim tuma al tuma. So you're upgrading the tuma. Okay. On Rabbi Meir, midivrim lomanu. From these two halachos we can learn the following chiddush. Remember, I just want to keep in mind. Remember that there's a question we have to deal with. What's the hoisef? Rabbi Akiva's case l'cha'ira is identical to the first part of the Mishnah. So we have to deal with that later. Now, Now comes another question to keep in mind. From Amar Rabbi Meir, this is why this is being brought down in Masechet Pesachim. Why is this? What's this doing here? Amar Rabbi Meir, Yidreim Shalmanu, Shesarv Tumah Tochayre Imatmeya, BePesach. Look at this. It's Erev Pesach. Let's go regular Erev Pesach. So what's the halacha? It's now the sixth hour, according to the Meir. Let's be very machmir. Meir, wait, sixth hour, you're going to burn Tumah. You're going to burn Tumah, right? Tumah has to be destroyed. It's Chametz. I have Chametz. So I'm going to burn it. Okay, you're going to burn it. Now, is this Tumah Tahira? Yeah, it's Tumah Tahira. I'm going to burn my bonfire. I have a can, a garbage can. And guess what's burning in the garbage can? Chametz Tameya. Well, the garbage can itself is Tameh. The garbage can is a metal garbage can, like you see today, right? Garbage can. The garbage can is Tameh. So I'm going to take my Tumah Tahira. This Tumah is 100% Tahar. Under normal circumstance, I would not be allowed to burn it. I would be over Loisase, Naseh, burning it. Why am I burning it? It's Erev Pesach. I have no choice. I got to burn it. Chametz. So you know how I'm going to burn it? I'm going to burn my garbage can. My garbage can is a Rishon. So you know what that means? When I toss the Tshuma into the garbage can, I'm making the Tshuma into a Sheni. And what was the Tshuma originally?
Tar.
Oh, this is a big Kiddush. Because until now, we only discussed the case where it's already Tameh, and the only issue is you're upgrading one level of Tuma. Here, Anam is going from Tar to Tameh. And what does it say? It says, Amar Meir, Midivrei Lamanu, from their words we learn. Really? Midivrehem, really? From the words we learn, I don't see that. We learned in the Mishnah, Tameh going up. We didn't learn Tar to Tameh. That the Gemara will deal with as well. Period. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree. Doesn't make any sense. Why, obviously? Because the previous case is Tameh to a higher madrega. Here it's Tahar to Tameh, so Einem and Amida, I disagree. The Gemara will explain the machlekes. Okay, fine. Next, Umoidim Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer admits, so who's Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua admit. Now, another question we have to keep in mind. Where did they come into the picture here? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua? Mandakar Shemayu. Where did they materialize? Whenever you have the word Umoidim, means until now we're dealing with you and you disagree with everything that we've said. Oh, but you know, we concede on this point. You've never mentioned, they've never been around that all of a sudden we should say the word Moedim. There are so many questions here in this Mishnah. That's why this Mishnah is very difficult. Every part of this Mishnah doesn't make sense. So that the Gemara deals everything one at a time. Moedim and Elazar Yeshua, these two Tanoim, which have not until now appeared, they do agree, Shesurf and Zoliatzma and Zoliatzma, they really agree that you can burn both together. They agree you can burn Tahira and Tameya.
No,
that's right. Tahira should burn separately, and Tameya should burn separately. Don't burn. I'm not nechleku. What? In other words, when if it's 100% Tahira, don't put it into your garbage. Going to make it Tameya. What then is the point of this agreement? Allah Tluya v'Allah Tameya. Shevi Liezo Oimer Lez says Tisarev Zuliatzma Zuliatzma Rabbi Shoimer Shteim Kachas. The only thing that they really disagree, these two Tanoim, is about is if it's Tluya. Tluya means it's a suffix. It's a suffix. If it's Vadai Smash, if it's Vadai Tameh Tahar, if it's Vadai Tahar, you're not allowed to contaminate it. Be or die by bringing contact with Tameya. But if it's Vadai Tameh, for sure you can do it. If it's Teluya, meaning it's a suffix. If it's a suffix, then that's where we have a disagreement, which we really have to explain in more detail. Rabbi Eliezer says, if it's a suffix, you're not allowed to burn Tumah that's a suffix Tameh with Tumah that's Vadai Tameh. And Rabbi Yeshua says you can. Rabbi Yeshua says you can burn a suffix with a Vadai. No problem. Okay, now all that will be explained later. Now let's go now once about a time. Here we go. Basar, the more elaborates, Basar, Shnit, Mavlatumah, my having. When the Mishnah begins, we have Basar, became time of Mavlatumah, which, what is the Sheni, right? What is my Sheni? Basar,
Tatsna,
Shnitma, the Vladatumah, Sheni, so now the So the Gemara doesn't understand. I told you the Gemara is maskan. The Gemara doesn't understand this. The Gemara at this point thinks Vlad means a reshine. Okay, let's we'll go one step at a time. I already told you the Mishnah coined the Gemara is maskan. But at this point in time, the Gemara thinks that when it says Basar Shenitma Bevlad Atoma My Have Sheni, because what is a Vlad? A Vlad is a
someone that touches an
avatoma. Right, a reshine. So basar, which came in contact with a vlad, means it became a sheni. Basar shnidma b'avatuma may have a sheni. Kisaf lebahade basar shnidma b'avatuma. Now, when you take this basar and you burn it with meat that become an avatuma, may have a. So what is that? That's a reshine.
Oh, it's a
sheni. One more time. Basar shnidma b'avatuma may have a sheni. Basar shenit. What is this basar right now? We have basar in front of us. This basar in front of us is what? Is a sheni. Why is it a sheni? Because it came in contact with a vlad. What is a vlad? A reshain. Now, what do I want to do with this basar? I want to burn it with a reshain. I want to burn it with a piece of meat that came in contact with an ah. It's going to be exactly the same thing. So my have a sheni. Kisafle, when you're going to take this piece of meat that's a sheni, and you're going to burn it bahade basa with another piece of meat, shenitma ba'avatuma, that's a rishon, the piece of meat which came in contact with an avatum, which is a rishon. So the rishon is going to make the other piece of meat into a sheni. It already is a sheni. You're not doing anything. My have a sheni is sheni. Sheni v'sheni hu. My moisev lo tumal tumoso. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, you're right. Let's explain. It says here, Vlad. Vlad does not mean a rishon. This way we explain it within the Mishnah. Vlad Vlad askinon. When it says in the Mishnah, Vlad, Basar Shenitma Bivlad Atoma, what's the taich of Vlad? Doesn't mean literally a one level of Vlad. It means a double level of Vlad, which means a sheni.
It's a shlishi.
It's a shlishi. And now you're cooking a shlishi together with a rishon, which is going to cause the rishon, the shlishi, to become a sheni, and that's a chiddush. The chiddush is you allow to upgrade the term from a shlishi to a sheni. Now the merzakasha v'ha ein oichel matam oichel. Now the merzakasha, wait, we have a technical problem over here. Problem over here is we have a rule. The rule is a midaraisa. A food does not contaminate another food. Minat old midrabanon, a food can contaminate another food. But minat Torah, one food, a food item, a solid, does not have the koyach to be metame another food. So here we have in front of us two pieces of food. One is a shlishi and one is a rishon. We're burning them together. And in the process, the Mishnah says, look what you're doing when the food that's a rishon makes contact with the food that's a shlishi, it caused the food that's a shlishi to be upgraded into a sheni. No, it doesn't. Because in the Torah, you can put together one food with another food, all you want, and there is no tumah. So the Mersa Kasha, if water comes in contact with a seed, and then the nevela falls upon it, tamei hu. So it says now that this zera hu tamei ve'ein oisek kayetsa, which means the only time of food, only time of food becomes a sheretz is an avatama, and the sheretz coming in contact with a solid, with a zera seed, with a solid food, and the food becomes tamei, and it says tamei hu, that this food now has become a rishon, and that's where it stops. And this food no longer has the power to make another food tamei. So you see over here, ve'ein oisek kayetsa tamei. So what's going on? So it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, I have a solution. The solution is very simple. This halacha that you just quoted from the pasuk, v'chiyut amayim al zera v'nof al v'vosam sab tamei hu, that is dealing with chulin. Chulin. That rule, tamei hu, is only by chulin. You have no right to apply that rule to kachin. Karchim has a higher standard.
So in order to chul dika food.
Chul cannot contaminate the chul and dika food.
But a truma dika food?
Or a karchim dika food can be mitame another karchim dika food.
Right.
Well, let's say a karchim food can be mitame from a food, the recipient. Let's make it very simple. If on the end line, the recipient is karchim, shum or karchim, we'll see now, it can become tame even though from another food. Exactly. When do we apply the rule of tami olam by chulin? Aval truma v'kadosh when it comes to v'kadoshim isek kayetzibai it works. And even Rav Adam Bar Hava Mishmed Rav Nami diyama l'shem l'chulin u'truma he holds that in this halacha of who is true by two things, by chulin and truma. Aval b'kadoshim oisek kayotzim shapir it works, it's going, it's shapir, it's possible. So everything works out very nicely. We're back in business where the Mishnah makes sense because the Mishnah is dealing with kachin. Chanina Sagan HaKoyhanin is dealing with kachin, and he's telling us that by kachin one piece of meat can be mitame another piece of meat.
But bevlad means bevlad.
So bevlad shlishi, and it's kachin, and it's coming in contact with a rishon. No,
with a
rishon, and now the shlishi is becoming a sheni. How could it be? It's two pieces of oichel, and oichel is not mitame oichel. That's only true by chulin. It's not true by kachin. So we're back in business. But the Gemara says now, but Ella, but what are you going to tell me? Ella l'ravina mishmei. He disagrees. But what about according to Ravina that says the halach of kodesh of tamehu is true even when it comes to kachim that one oichel cannot be mitame another oichel even by kachim? So Michael Meimar, so the Maariv says not a kash halacha ma'askina diika mashkin b'hadei basa. A simple answer. There's an intermediary in between. In other words, we have a piece of oichel. That's a rishon. It's coming in contact with the shlishi, but the shlishi is wet. The shlishi is wet. So what happens? You're going. The rishon makes contact with the liquid.
I thought it's a shlishi. Not.
You have a piece of meat that's a shlishi.
It's a shlishi.
And there's also liquid.
Right.
Now, when liquid comes in contact with the rishon, it becomes a rishon. That's a general halacha, special halacha. So the oichel is a. If you just had two pieces of food, one a rishon and one a shlishi, nothing would happen.
Right.
But because there's liquid in between, the rishon makes contact is a mashke. So what happens to that mashke? That mashke becomes a rishon. A rishon touches a mashke, the mashke becomes a rishon.
That's how it is?
That's the way it is. So we'll see, it's a shaz, it's a dorim with the rabbanim, but that's how it is, the rishon. And now when that mashke touches the shlishi, what happens? The shlishi becomes a sheni.
What's the recipient? What's the giving? That's, I don't know.
Yeah, we have two pieces, the basic case, there are two pieces of meat, a rishon and a shlishi. What's the kasha? If they're both oichel, one cannot be mitam the other. So there's no way we can get the shlishi to a sheni.
Right.
Just because there's a rishon, it's a shlishi, you can't upgrade because it's too oichel. You know what the answer is? In between the two pieces of meat, there's liquid.
So
the rishon, the piece of meat that's a rishon, touches mashke.
Yeah.
What happens to that mashke? What status does it get?
A rishon of oichel touches mashke.
What happens to that mashke? No, it doesn't. It becomes a rishon.
Liquid
always becomes a rishon. Even if a sheni touches a mashke, the liquid becomes a rishon. Liquids are an exception to the rule. Liquids always are upgraded.
This was a shlishi, and this basa.
Two pieces of basa. One is a rishon. One is a shlishi.
Right.
If they touch each other, according to Ravina, nothing would happen.
Right.
But we're in luck. Because in between the piece of the rishon and the shlishi, there's mashke, there's liquid.
I have bosa here.
You put a cup of apple juice on the.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, I just pour apple juice.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So now the rishon first will come in contact with the liquid, and what is the liquid? What status liquid have?
It becomes a rishon.
Oh, And now the liquid comes in contact with the shlishi.
So it becomes and makes it into sheni.
Why? Because it's a liquid touching an oichel. It's no longer an oichel touching an oichel. If it's an oichel touching an oichel, it doesn't work. But when it's a mashke touching an oichel, then it works. The whole drasha, tamei
ku. So it makes the mashke take to make the meal into a sheni.
Exactly. You need the mashke, exactly.
Mashke
so Michael, name, so let's see the Gemara.
Even though it's oichel, but it's a mashke, it's a
So let's see the words of Gemara. It's right opposite the Taisvis im, right where the words im. Hocha b'mayaskinan. De'ika mashkin bahade basar. So it's not an oichel going to an oichel. De'ika mitame machmas Mashkin. Now the Gemara says that's a very big doichik. Now let's look at the Rashi to prove it. Look at the Rashi. It's three lines from the bottom. Okay, it's a very important point. This Rashi. Dika mashkin mahadei basar kishenaga ba'avatuma when the first piece of meat. When the first piece of meat, I told it a little bit different. When the first piece of meat, it's a reshine. When did the first piece of meat, how did the first piece of meat become a reshine? Because it touched Navatoma. The reshine was soaked in apple juice. Okay? The male of a nitma ima. The hava af hamashke rishon.
What's it down?
It doesn't go.
Right,
you don't need.
Right, you don't need to say because the mashke also touched. Right, you have to make it very simple because you want to be a deraisa. See, I made a mistake because I was telling you something which is only true midrabanan. Rashi is telling us the case that it works even on a deraisa level, which is important for the Gemara. So I made a mistake. So show you the case. You have two pieces of meat, a rishon and a shlishi. If the two pieces of meat touch each other, it wouldn't work. So that's the solution. The solution, we're going to have mashke. Now, wait, but we want the mashke to be a reshine. How did the mashke become a reshine? Because the mashke also touched, didn't touch the reshine. That's not enough. We'll see why that's not enough. That's only midrabanan. Because in Atayra, the reshine, the mashke will become a sheni, in Atayra. Yeah, okay. Because the piece of meat that touched, that's a reshine, how did it become a reshine? It touched Navatoma. Before it touched the Avatoma, it was soaked in liquid.
What was the meat?
Yeah. The reshine. The reshine that
meat,
was...
That the meat. The avatoma,
yeah, was soaked
was
in liquids.
Big deal.
No, it's not a big deal because now there are really two things that are a reshine.
So the water became a reshine.
The water also touched the avatoma.
But the water touched the avatoma, so the water is a reshine.
The water is a reshine in its own right.
I understand. It doesn't.
And the meat... And the meat's an avah rishon because the meat touched the avatoma. So both the meat and the liquid are an avah rishon. You have a piece of meat.
Right.
And it's soaked in liquid.
Right.
And this piece of meat makes contact with an avah tomo. So both the meat and the liquid that's dripping become a rishon.
Right.
Now you take this dripping wet meat and you have it come in contact with another piece of meat that's a shlishi. What happens to the piece of meat that's a shlishi? It becomes a sheni. Why does it become a sheni? Why does it become a sheni? Not because the oichel touched an oichel. That wouldn't do it. It's because the oichel is touching the mashke.
And when oichel touches a mashke, then it
does go up in tumah. Does go up, right? That the whole it goes up. In this right, it goes up. So that's how the answer. So look at the Rashi one more time. Rashi, the three lines in the bottom. Diga mashke made man basta gishnoga we have tumo ho ye mashke to fe cholach ve nit me imo ve a ve ha ve afa mashke ri shoin and now uch se sorfa when you burn this piece of meat that's soaking wet with the other piece of meat that's a shlishi, with the shlishi, the first piece of meat is a rishon. Not only is the piece of meat a rishon, the liquid that's dripping on it is also a rishon. And now when you burn it with the other piece of meat that's a shlishi, uchish sarfa adayin uchu alecha, the liquid is still on it. Umitame habosa shenishraf imze machmas hamashkin v'nase shlishi sheni. And the piece of meat that's a shlishi becomes a sheni.
The last point.
I have in front of me, let's go over, I have in front of me two pieces of meat. One is a reshine, one is a shlishi. The two pieces of meat touch each other. What's the problem? Because according to Ravina, so the answer is this piece of meat is not just a piece of dry meat. It's a piece of soaking wet meat. Now, how did this piece of meat become a Rishon? This soaking wet piece of meat become a Rishon because it touched an Avatoma. So what became an Avatoma when this piece of meat touched the Avatoma? The meat, the salad, and the mashke. So now I have in front of me a piece of meat that's soaking wet that has two components to it, two parts to it. The meat part and the liquid part. Both the meat part is a Rishon and the liquid is a Rishon. Now, when this will touch the other piece of meat, this Shlishi is going to become a Sheni. Why is it going to become a Sheni? Because of the liquid part, not because of the solid part.
The liquid part is metame that.
To make it into a shame. Exactly. So what's the Gemara's obvious kash? The Gemara's obvious kash is ikh chosim in a sefer. Back to the Gemara. Back to what it says. The Gemara says that's ridiculous. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you have two pieces of oichal, a basar and basar. You make up a whole new case of mashke. So the Gemara says.
That's not considered oichal. I mean,
that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The basar itself wouldn't have the koyach according to Ravina to make the shlishi into a sheni. So the Gemara says, Elo. So here's the final answer according to Ravina. Elonihi the ein oichal metame oichal midraisa midrabanan miu metame. So the Gemara is saying a tremendous chish according to Ravina. The Gemara is downgrading the whole Gemara. The whole halacha of Rechanim Niskan HaKoyhanim Lufi Ravina is purely Din Rabbanan. It's purely a Din Rabbanan. Because Minat Torah, if you take it, it totally changed the whole scope. The whole thing changes.
It's
the same thing. It's a Zelbazach. It's a Rishon, D'Oraisa, making contact with the Shlishi D'Oraisa. And the two are coming together. Minat Torah, when the Rishon touches the Shlishi Minat Torah, according to Ravina, nothing happens. Because the Pasuk says, Tamehu. Who means only. Or an oichel cannot be metame another oichel. But midrabanan, an oichel can be metame an oichel. A shlishi touched a rishon. The shlishi now becomes a sheni midrabanan. Same case, not making any change. There's no change whatsoever. The shlishi is coming in contact with the rishon. The shlishi now is upgraded to a sheni, but according to Ravina, it's only being upgraded midrabanan, not midrabanan. Okay, so this is the words maskana we have Rechnis Kana Kohanim. This is a chiddush. The maskana we have to remember, it's a machlekes in the Gemara. There are two mahalchim. Is it a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan? We have everyone agrees of the aside from the pasuk. He yutid my malzera the nitma tamei hu that tells us that oichel is not metamen oichel. Everyone agrees that's certainly true when it comes to chulin. But there's a machlekes. Is applied to kachim. If you hold it does not apply to kachim, then Rechnis Kana Kohanim. Halacha is a din d'oraisa that you're allowed to burn a rishon with a shlishi, even though you're upgrading a shlishi to a sheni d'oraisa. If you learn the pasuk tamehu is mikra mole kasa medaver is a din. Is even when it comes to kachin, then you have no choice but to say that the yisoy, the yuchinis kanak ayhamed, you want to go burn a rishon with a shlishi, is because binatari, you're not doing anything, you're only doing midrabban, and midrabban, this is okay. It's not so terrible. Next, now we go to the next part of the Mishnah. Hoyser, we keep mimim shukaran, and lunim lumulahalik, they did not hold back from burning truma. The same exact case, right? I told you, the same exact case. You have truma. The truma is a shlishi. You're burning it in a can. What's the can? The can is a rishon. So what are you doing? The ner, it's a ner. The ner is a rishon. So what are you doing to the truma? You're making the truma from a shlishi to a sheni. Michdi shemen shnivsa b'tul yoyin may have a shlishi. V'chimalik lebiner shliba b'tzabatami meis may have a sheni. May kamashmon shlishi mutu lasos a sheni. Hai nuhach. Especially if you learn like, let's learn like, not like a let's learn according to Tanakama. The first approach of it's a din d'oraisa. So the din d'oraisa is saying exactly the same thing. So what is it coming to be? Mois Yosef, what's this word in the Mishnah that Hoyser Rabbi Akiva, he was a new Chiddush, this is not a new Chiddush, this is exactly a carbon copy of Rechnis Kanafei Hanim, Hai Nuhach, Amram Yudah, Mahacham, Mahacham, in a Chanamic Morrison, there's a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? Hacham, I skin, Benesh, Avatechas, Askin, and Rachmon Omar, the Halal Cherev, Cherev, and Rikicholo, the Halal Ava Tumma, the Kosovar, Shlishi Mutula Soyser Rishoin. There's a Chiddush. In this case, you're not going from, it's not a case of a Rishon and a Shlishi. It's an Av Hatumo and a Shlishi. Why? Because of a new Yisoid, and this is a very big Chiddush of the Gemara saying, is that metal. Metal has the same status as its source. In other words, we are brainwashed. It's not a good word to say that. I don't like that word, but we are familiar with the concept that any time something touches tumah, you go down one step. There is an exception, but this exception is extremely limited. And we're going number one only when you're dealing with tumah mace. You have to know there are different types of tumah. There's tumah mace, there's tumah shiratzim, and there's something called tumah hayetzim migufay, a zav, and a balkari. Three different. Generally, there are three categories of tumah. Again, tumah smeis, tumah shirotzim, and tumah hayetzim igufo. Okay, you have tumah nevela as well. Shouldn't say there are three categories. And there's also tumah nevela. Only when it comes to tumah smeis. Remember that. What we're about to say, we have to remember this. You only learn this. Today it's kedai. Only when it comes to tumah smeis. Not shiratzim, not tumiyetzim gufay. Now, when it comes to nevelus, is that we're going to say the aside. If metal, an object of metal, makes contact with an av hatuma, it's the same thing. If an av hatuma touches metal, so the metal is also an av hatuma. How do you know that? Because it says the pasuk, the halal cheref, that a sword came in contact with the dead. The Gemara makes a drasha. It makes a drasha, the smichus, that the cheref harayu ki cholol. Now, cholol is an aviyah voice.
Right.
So the sword is also an aviyah voice.
Okay.
We extrapolate that just like an aviyah, the sword can be an aviyah voice, then an av, metal, touches av, kinos, kinos. It's not a chiddush. It's done by a sword. It's anything you would take the pasuk, maybe the object which the implemented board nisa. No. Any piece of metal. So now, what's the ner? The ner is a metal can. Most neros in Masechta Shabbos are cheres, right?
Yeah.
We're dealing with a metal can, a metal ner. And the ner came in contact...
The shemen is...
Before we get to the shemen, the ner is metal. The ner came in contact with an avatoma. Avatoma is an av. The metal, the avatoma touched the metal can. So what status does the metal can have now?
An avatoma.
Avatoma. The shemen is what?
Truma.
Truma. What is the shemen? It's a shlishi. It's a shlishi, the truma, yeah. Right? A tvul yom touched the shaman. Tvul yom touched the shaman.
Tvul yom makes it into a shlishi.
A shlishi, tvul yom is a sheni. He touched the shaman, it's a shlishi. Now, when I take this shlishi and I put it in the can, I'm taking a shlishi, I'm putting it in contact with an avatoma. What's the result? I'm upgrading it from a shlishi to a rishon. What did the Chinitz Kanakahanim say? I'm allowed to take a rishon and burn it with a shlishi, and in the process of taking a shlishi, being in contact with the rishon, I upgrade from a shlishi to a sheni. Here I'm going weiter. I'm upgrading from a shlishi to a rishon. Oh, that's a big chiddush. That's a taka hoisif. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Chinitz Kanakahanim won't tell me a chiddush. You got to go from a shlishi to a sheni. He's telling me a big chiddush. I'm allowed to go up two madregos. I go from a shlishi up.
You and that touch the shemen becomes a shlishi.
Shlishi.
And now I put into
an avatoma. What's an avatoma? Something that comes in contact with an avatoma.
Avatoma.
Avatoma. When something comes in contact with an avatoma, what happens to that object? It becomes a rishon. So this shemen, what's it going to become when it comes into the nair?
A rishon.
So you're
making a shlishi into a rishon.
How many madrigas did you go up?
Two.
Well, how many madrigas did Rabbi Chinitz Kanakahanim allow?
One.
So now we understand why Rabbi Akiva was hoisif? Yeah, he allowed you a bigger chiddush. That's the Gemara's answer. Now the Gemara says, "My duch, the Gemara is a technical question. If you want to say this chiddush, you're going up to a rishon. Why do you have to say that we're dealing with the ner shel matechas? I can say the same exact chiddush, noikma b'ner shel cheres." We can say it's a ner shel cheres, and there's also a chiddush of ma'ichos of the iluhasam tamei v'tamei viluhacha pasul v'tamei. Even if we're dealing with a ner shel cheres, which is going to be a rishain, there's a bigger chiddush because here we're dealing with truma. Now, here's the point I mentioned when we were out of time. Here's very clearly the point I mentioned from when we started. There is an inherent chiddush. What was Rabbi Chanina Skanakayhanim's case? Kachin! Kachin! A shlishi by kachin. Is it tamei or pasul?
It's
tamei. It has the koyach to contaminate something else. What is Rabbi Akiva discussing? Truma! Truma! A shlishi is pasul. It's not a dangerous object. There's no potential to cause harm to anyone. It's only a shlishi. So when Rabbi Chanina Skana Kayhanim was moisif, he's saying a bigger chumrah. Even when it comes to truma, and you're dealing something which is harmless, and now you're putting it in contact with the rishon, and you make it into a sheni. When you make truma from a shlishi to a sheni, you're creating an object that's dangerous. Because until now, it wasn't dangerous, because it was only a shlishi. It can't do any harm. In the case of it was a lesser chiddush, because a shlishi was dangerous.
You don't need med.
You don't need matechas. So that's the more kasha, which we are at home. We can't go by there, but this is... Okay, we'll stop here.